Man, that sunset is gorgeous.
Grill, patio, sunset. Hard to get better than that. Unless you're browsing Carvana's inventory while you soak it all in.
Oh, burger time.
So sit back, get comfortable. Carvana's got thousands of cars under $20,000 just waiting for you.
I could stay here forever.
Carvana, where car buying meets comfort meets convenience. Download the app or visit Carvana.com today.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app today to get free delivery on your first three orders, while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Hey guys, so before we get into the episode, I just wanted to give a little content warning. We do talk about some sensitive subjects in this episode because we are talking about our histories with mental health. So we talk about bipolar disorder, depression, anxiety, and then we also kind of briefly touch on a few other sensitive topics like eating disorders, sexual assault, self-harm. We keep it pretty general, but I just wanted to let you know if that's something that you are sensitive to, this may not be the best episode for you. The first 15 minutes or so are really light and not related to that because we do, you know, all the normal things, the bump date, the hot takes. So I'll put a timestamp on screen of where we actually start talking about those sensitive topics. So if you want to skip that, you can just watch the first part or go watch one of our other episodes. But I hope you guys enjoy the episode. Pop the popcorn, put on your comfiest pajamas, and grab a drink because it's time for a new episode of Sierra Unfiltered. Hello, everyone, and welcome back to another episode of Sierra Unfiltered.
Hey!
I hope everyone had a good weekend. I love that the episodes are always on Monday.
I know. It's like a good way to start out your week.
Do you listen to the podcast?
Yes.
Really?
Do you?
No.
Really?
I don't listen to it.
Oh my gosh. Yeah, I have to because I forget what we talk about and then I get DMs and I'm like, I feel like I would be confused if I didn't listen to it.
Yeah.
I would be like, why are people messaging me about like this very niche thing? About like even last week I got messages about what's that character's name? From
Bulby.
Jimmy Neutron, Bulby. I would have been like, why are people messaging me Bulby? Like, what is...
Wait, people sent you Bulby memes?
Yes, people sent me all sorts of things.
I love the podcast audience. Like, I don't think I've ever felt more understood than by the podcast audience.
Oh, absolutely. But I like listening. I guess I shouldn't say prefer Apple Podcasts.
No, you can say that.
Oh, well... I prefer Apple Podcasts. I think because like staring at myself for like 2 hours is kind of a lot.
Yeah.
Especially because we're like kind of like funny. Like I feel like I make a lot of like faces and sometimes like looking at that for 2 hours is a lot.
But... Well, Steven keeps bugging me that we always say this at the end of the podcast. So I'm going to say at the beginning, subscribe to the YouTube channel.
Yes.
If you haven't, I'm so shocked. We get so many more views than we do subscribers.
Yeah.
I think because we never say subscribe. So yeah. Steven told me, like, tell everyone to subscribe. So here you go, Steven.
Well, and also I feel like the podcast listeners aren't necessarily all people who, like, watch YouTube frequently. Like, yeah. I know, like, my grandma watches on the YouTube app, but, like, probably isn't subscribed because she probably isn't subscribed to anyone.
Right.
So, like, grandma, you should subscribe.
You know, when I first made my YouTube channel... And I, like, would say at the beginning of every video, like, my first, like, when I made my YouTube channel originally, I would say, like, and subscribe to my channel. And my grandma, like, a month into my channel, came up to me at, like, a family gathering. And she's like, Sierra, in your videos, you keep saying that, like, if you want to support me, subscribe. And she's like, but I don't know how to subscribe.
She's like, do I sign up for an email list?
Like, she's like, can you show me how? So I, like, sat down and made her a YouTube account so she could subscribe.
That's so cute.
It's really cute.
That'll be so fun when you hit a million to be like, I know one of them is my grandma.
If I hit a million. Let's see.
Oh, my
how
goodness.
How far away am I? We're filming this 6 days before it goes up. Let's see how many subscribers I have. I don't really check that often, but it's now it says at the top of the YouTube app.
Yeah.
963,022.
You're right. A million is way too far away. You're never going to hit it.
It feels far.
You know what, Sierra? It's never gonna happen.
It just goes to a grinding halt today.
Imagine? Everyone, because in my brain, you have a million subscribers because you also have, like, the vlog channel and this channel. But what if, like, everyone just unsubscribed to the amount to where you're at, like, 999,000?
You know what they call that in the, like, business world of social media? They call that total social reach. So, like, if someone's, like, pitching me to a brand, if, like, my manager or, like, someone at YouTube is, like, to a brand like, you should work with Sierra, it's like her total social reach, and they just add up the numbers from, like, literally, like, I have, like, I think
Pinterest,
I think, like, 1,000 people like my page on Facebook that I, like, never post on. Aww. And they, like, include that.
That's so cute. We were talking about Pinterest the other day.
Yeah.
I feel like Pinterest doesn't get enough love.
I think so too. I use it a lot.
I feel like if I was going to be, like, an influencer, the only thing I would use would be Pinterest.
Would you be a pinfluencer?
I would be a pinfluencer. I love Pinterest.
You should be a pinfluencer.
How do you even begin to become a pinfluencer?
Step one, make a Pinterest.
Done.
Step two, take aesthetic photos. Done.
I don't know.
Yeah, you
I feel like that's weird to be like.
No, even your Instagram stories are, like, perfectly, like, aesthetic and edited and, like, on a background. And mine are like, hey, good morning, guys. How's it going? I'm like,
what was that voice? That was a very, please comment down below. That was a very specific, like, old man from a cartoon voice, but I don't know who that, can you do it one more time for us?
I don't think I can replicate it. Hey, guys. I don't know what that is. But I literally, like, I did an Instagram story yesterday, and I went back and watched it because I had done it, like, late at night, and I had zit cream in the corner of my mouth. I am not a pinfluencer.
But I am not a pinfluencer. We're going to make you a pinfluencer, Sierra.
Is that a word, or did I make that up?
You made that up. Yes. Trademark it.
Trademarked.
Feel like if you, like, had an Etsy shop and made, like, pinfluencer and, like, cursive writing, I feel like moms would buy that.
You think so?
Yeah.
Well, you're about to be a mom. Speaking of which, you want to
give us... Maybe I should open an Etsy shop.
You want to give us your bump date?
What is my bump... Oh, you know what my bump date is?
Hmm.
I had to stop wearing my wedding ring because my fingers are so swollen.
Wow.
I had to, like, order a new fake wedding ring on Amazon that, like, kind of looks like my wedding ring because everything grows when you're pregnant.
Yeah.
And what I think is the most interesting is, like, my fingers will most likely, like, go back to their regular size, which is why I'm not, like, resizing my ring. But your feet oftentimes stay the bigger size.
Really?
So, like, people can go up a shoe size while they're pregnant because they have, like, swollen feet. Mm-hmm. But then when you're done being pregnant, like, you're just, like, a size 10.
Whoa.
So you have to buy, like, all new shoes.
That's crazy.
Isn't that so weird?
Because the finger thing makes sense.
Yeah, like, everything gets swollen, your legs get swollen, whatever. But, like, your feet could grow and then just stay that size.
So, like, have your feet grown? Like, do you fit into your shoes still?
There are some shoes that are really tight, but I think it's because my feet are swollen.
Yeah.
Like, it's, like my tight boots and stuff, like Chelsea boots.
Yeah.
I don't think my feet have, like, grown
a size.
But I'm also always in between, like, an 8.5 and a 9.
Yeah.
So it's, like, kind of hard. Like, I might just be a 9 now.
Yeah.
I don't know.
That's crazy.
How weird.
So are you not wearing your wedding ring right now?
Yeah.
She's a single woman.
A single woman. I was going to say on the prowl, and then I was like, this is taking the joke too far. Not single, happily betrothed.
This weekend, we betrothed.
You know, I was thinking about it. I was like, maybe I should change my Instagram bio because everyone has, like married to so-and-so, like mom to be, and I could put like podcast co-host.
Yeah.
Maybe I should just put happily betrothed and then nothing else.
Does betrothed mean married or promised to be married?
I think it's promised to be married because I think in Shrek, Lord Farquaad is, like, betrothed to Princess Fiona. But, like, they don't get married. They're just, like, they're promised.
I love that niche reference. That's like, so good. What you drinking?
I am drinking green tea.
Ooh,
what are
nice.
You drinking?
I am drinking a latte.
Ooh, it looks like there's some, like, latte art in there.
I don't know.
Was that intentional? Carly, was that intentional? It kind of looks like a little bear.
Carly's shaking her head no. Carly was getting our drink set up before the podcast, so she's like, what do you guys want to drink? And I was like, oh, do you know how to use my latte machine? So she made me a latte, but she
I think she left you, like, a little...
Is it like in Harry Potter when they read the tea leaves? Like, what's my future? It says I'm never gonna hit 1 million subscribers. Perfect. And that I'm gonna watch Shrek 2 tonight. Awesome.
Yes. I'm so excited for Disney Plus to come out.
Yeah.
Especially because I've had to, like, illegally stream Brother Bear for, like, the last couple of years. Because only Brother Bear 2's on Netflix. Like, I've paid for Atlantis, like, on Amazon Prime. But, like, Kyle just, like, won't let me pay for Brother Bear 1.
I know what I'm getting you for your baby shower.
Brother Bear 1?
Brother Bear 1.
But Disney Plus will already be out. So then I'll just have, like, a weird, like, VHS copy that I can't use.
But then you'll own it.
I could, like, put it up on a shelf.
Yeah. Like, display it aesthetically. Just
Brother Bear.
No, I should find, like, an Etsy shop owner who can do, like, custom art and get you, like, a custom, like, aesthetic Brother Bear poster.
Wait, why have I not thought of, like, Brother Bear toys for my baby?
Yeah.
Because I've searched everything else. Like, on my baby registry, I have, like, little Hamilton dolls. Aww. Like, I have, like, all of the, like, niche things. Like, I've looked up The Greatest Showman. I have not looked up Brother Bear. Sorry, this is taking a weird turn. This isn't going to be a ranty podcast.
No, the last few episodes of our podcast have been, like, silly, goofy, which is fun and us.
Yeah.
But we're actually going to talk about mental health this podcast. So, I mean, it's still Skylar and I, so we're always a little silly.
Still talking about Lord Farquaad. Yeah, and, you know, but... and
Brother Bear. But we're going to kind of talk about, like, our experiences, our struggles with mental health, our thoughts on, you know, some, like, topics that surround, like, mental health and mental health awareness. So I'm excited. But before we do that, should we do our hot takes?
Yeah, let's do it. Our last silly goof-goofs.
Yeah.
The next hour or so. silly goof-goofs. Wow. Do you want to go first?
Sure. So my hot take is that the villain needs to win more often in movies. Like,
explain.
Okay, so here's the thing. Every movie that you watch, you know that it's going to end, no matter what the up and downs are, that, like, everyone in the end is going to be fine, right?
Yeah.
Like, to some extent, right?
Yeah.
Like, I remember, go ahead.
Well, I was going to say, like, is everyone fine? Like, I guess you could argue the protagonist is fine, but, like, spoiler alert, in Moana, like, her grandma dies, and it's very devastating.
But, like, wouldn't it have been better if, like, in the end, the lava monster didn't be like, oh, like, Moana, spoilers for Moana, like, be like, oh, like, you, like, it's my, the heart of Tafiti, I'm, like, the goddess of life and earth. And if instead she was like, no, I am a lava monster, and, like, I'm, like, kills Moana.
I mean, I don't think that would be better. I think that would be much worse.
Just imagine walking out of the theater. You're, like, shook. You're like, I can't believe they did that.
See, but this then, is why we need to get you into Game of Thrones Westworld.
But then, every Disney, even if they never did it again, just the one time, now every Disney movie that you walk into, you'd be like, I don't know how this is gonna end.
I feel like they did that a little bit with Frozen, making Hans the villain.
But he didn't win.
But I feel like after that, my trust was, like, I was always on edge.
But now they do a twist villain in literally every movie. Like, Zootopia, twist villain.
Also, we don't talk about Zootopia enough. Zootopia is, like, my third favorite Disney movie.
Is it really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow. What do you like so much about Zootopia?
What do I like so much about Zootopia? It's all the things I love. Like, a small, like, creature who's, like, not a human, who, like, has these, like, big dreams, and her family's like, you can't do it, you're just a kid. And then, like, she goes out and she does it, and she's awesome. Anyways, I don't know if I totally agree with your hot take.
Yeah.
I think just because it's specifically in Disney movies.
No. It's not specifically. Actually, I would say don't.
Or, like, kids movies.
No. Oh, I mean just more in, like, adult movies.
Oh, okay. Then
I'm just using Disney movies as, like, an example.
I agree with that, then. Okay. That's, like, all the, like, big TV shows and movies I like. I feel like half the time that happens.
Yeah.
I just feel like with Disney movies, like,
ugh. Keep it pure.
They're so pure.
I will accept that argument. That, like, kids movies, sure, keep them pure. Let the hero always win. But, like, even something like, I'm trying to think of, like,
you're all like Trolls.
Like Trolls.
let the Bergens win. Whatever they're called.
Like Star Wars.
Yeah.
Like, at the.
Agree.
Like, let the. Also, another hot take, I'm kind of Team Empire. Like, the Jedi are, like, kind of culty. They, like, really reject, like, a lot of emotions, which I don't think is healthy and, like, a good coping mechanism. And, like, they, like, don't allow themselves to, like, love or feel or connect because they view it as, like, a weakness. And, like, I don't know.
Is this the podcast where we find out you're actually a villain?
Like, the Empire...
Like, what villains do you root for? Because I don't think I've ever rooted for... I haven't. Like, there are villains who I'm like, oh, like, Ursula's a very, like, dynamic, interesting character. But yeah. I've never, like, go get him, Ursula!
I don't know. I don't know if there are specific villains that I root for. But, like, make them more... Make them win.
Make them win! Oh, my God.
Because you know what? That's life. Like, sometimes... that's a good message for life. Sometimes, you know what? Jake Paul makes millions of dollars. And, like, sometimes, you know what? Like, Trump wins the election. Like, oh, it's not always a redemption story.
You know, I'm going to stick with I agree, except for Disney.
Okay.
Because, like, even, like, Kyle and I have been talking a lot about, like, what, like, screen limitations we're going to have for, like, our kid and, like, what... like, that all will entail. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm like, even just, like, the kids page on Netflix isn't, like, picked through enough. Like, I would never just, like, let my, like, toddler be like, whatever you want as long as it's on the kid page.
Yeah.
But I feel like, old school Disney movies are, like, pretty...
I don't know. Hunchback of Notre Dame is, like,
I mean, it's scary. That's true. I guess it's literally old school Disney movie. I guess, like... newer Disney,
like Disney,
like Disney Pixar.
Yeah,
I feel like pretty much any. I feel like any Disney Pixar movie, I would let my son watch.
Yeah, I'll agree with that. What's your hot take?
My hot take. I started telling you this, and then we're like, we need to save it for the podcast. So
I forget what it was.
My hot take is that it is inappropriate and disrespectful to be a sexy dead person.
If
that person wasn't inherently sexy. Like, I don't necessarily think it's wrong to be Marilyn Monroe for Halloween, because, like, that was her MO, was that, like, she's like, I'm a bombshell, I'm flirtatious, I'm this, that, and the other. But being, like, sexy Bob Ross, like, that's, like, he's passed away and he has a family, and that's disrespectful.
Do you think it's okay to dress up as Bob Ross?
Yes.
But not to sexify his costume.
Yes. Exactly.
Oh, I don't know. I'm on the fence about this one.
Yeah.
So, do you want to give more explanation or should?
Well, so first of all, I'm just not, like, a huge fan of, like, making costumes that, like, aren't already sexy in the first place. Like, I think, like, we've talked about briefly with, like, making, like, kids' characters sexy is, like, a kind of a weird thing. Or I think, like, making, like, people who have passed away sexy is also, like, a weird thing.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like the only, like, sexy Halloween costumes that I think truly, like, aren't offensive are ones that are either, like, fictional characters that are, like, of legal age, or ones that, like, they already have a sexy costume. Like,
okay. What about...
what was her name from Space Jam?
Lola. Oh, Lola.
Like, her costume's already sexy, yeah. And so it's, like... you're just dressing up as that character, and it happens to be, like, a flattering costume.
Right. Okay, I'm going to spout off some characters.
Okay.
And you, because I'm curious to see, like, where your lines fall.
Where my line, okay.
And you can say, like, okay, in between, or no.
Okay.
Like, inanimate objects, like sexy toothbrush.
Totally, okay.
So I can be sexy toothbrush. Absolutely. I can wear, like, a little bristle top and, like.
Absolutely.
That's, okay. What about, like.
Like, I think that's funny. To be, like, a sexy, like, toaster.
Yeah.
Like, sexy brave little toaster?
No.
Maybe a little weird.
Okay. What about, like, so if we're talking, like, people who've passed away.
Okay.
What about, like, what about people who are still alive? What about, like, sexy Mr. Rogers?
Is Mr. Rogers still alive?
I think he is.
I think he passed away.
I'm going to Google it.
I'm not sure.
Carly, can you Google it?
Here's where we find out. So I think if someone's still alive, that's fine. Like, we saw, like, on the Dolls Kill website, they had, like, a Dolly Parton.
Yeah.
I think doing, like, sexy Dolly Parton is fine. She's alive. Sexy Britney Spears. Sexy,
what about, like sexy care? Like, making someone sexy who's not, like, sexy?
Like, I think, like...
what about, like, sexy Kanye West?
I think that's fine.
That's fine, because he's alive.
Because he's alive.
Okay.
I think it's, like, when some...
oh. He died.
Oh.
I thought he was still alive. Yeah, so then, like, in that case, Mr. Rogers has passed away.
I think totally not okay.
Totally not okay. But can I dress up as Mr. Rogers?
Yes, absolutely. Because I think, like, you know what? I think a good example is when I was in fourth grade, I dressed up as Walt Disney for, like, a project. But I got, like, a tuxedo and, like, talked in a smoker voice and, like, had, like, a little mustache.
Yeah.
Like, that's me being, like, I love Walt Disney so much. I want to, like, pay honor to him.
Right.
Like, and I think if you were to dress up as, like, Mr. Rogers for Halloween and you're, like, whatever, just wearing, like, a sweater vest and cargo pants or whatever, like, that's you being, like, I love Mr. Rogers. I want to dress up as him. This is nostalgic.
Yeah.
Versus, like, I'm going to wear, like, a red tie and, like, I think that's weird.
What about if we go back further? So, okay, like, those are people who've, like, relatively recently passed away.
Okay.
What if I'm, like, sexy Abraham Lincoln?
See, I feel like that's still not okay.
Like, he's been dead for a long time.
But, like, he was assassinated.
Okay, wait, wait. Yeah, you're right. That's, but how about sexy George Washington? Because, like, he died of, like, old age
and, like, natural causes. I still just think it's weird to be a sexy dead person. Like, there are so many things.
What about, I'm trying, let me think, like, really. What if I, no, that's even worse. I was going to say sexy Jesus, but, like, that's bad.
Like, that's, like, a whole other religious issue. Podcast. Let's talk about that. I did see a comment on your sexy Halloween videos that was like, I thought the sexy Hagrid was a sexy wise man for a minute. And I was like, could you imagine how problematic that would be? Like, didn't Tana Mojo get, like, canceled last year for doing, like, sexy JoJo Siwa?
Yeah, but that's also a child.
Yeah. But I feel like doing, like, a religious figure, like,
it's the same as JoJo Siwa.
Yeah. Kind of. Oh, my goodness.
No,
oh my
I see what you mean. Like,
but it's just been interesting, especially because I've been doing so much research for all of our, like, sexy, weird Halloween videos.
Yeah.
I've seen a lot of, like, sexy people that have passed away. Mm. And I'm like, could you imagine, like, if you had, like, a famous dad and then, like, you were, like, scrolling through Dolls Kill and you're like, oh, there's, like, my dad in a thong. Great. like, I just feel like that's, like, kind of weird. And, like, kind of, like, it's kind of like how we were talking about, has the Recreating Magazines video come out yet?
No, but it'll be going up shortly after this podcast. So, surprise, we're doing a video where I recreate magazine covers.
But in that, we talked a lot about how, like, they put the word sex on the cover next to these, like, powerful, like, Olympic athletes or, like, self-made women. Mm-hmm. And it's not that there's anything wrong with sex. It's just that, like, that woman is more than
it's
that.
It's making it a little demeaning.
Yeah, it's like, Bob Ross is so much more than, like his curly afro.
He's a sex icon, but, like, he's so much more than that.
Oh, my goodness.
Okay, so here's where I think I draw the line. I think I'm a little bit more lenient on it than you. Yeah. I think if they've been passed away for a really long time and you're not, like, mocking their death in the costume, like, if I personally wouldn't dress as sexy George Washington.
Yeah.
But if I saw, like, a couple dress as, like, sexy George and Martha Washington, like, I would laugh.
Yeah. But how would you, I guess you also have a very different sense of humor than I do, and I'm, like, a lot more sensitive. I was gonna say, how would you feel if in, like, 200 years someone dressed up as, like, sexy Sierra Schultze and Stephen from Stephen and Sierra IRL?
I mean, I'm dead, so,
so you don't
not
care.
My problem.
Like, I don't want someone to dress up as, like, sexy Skylar and Kyle you in don't? 100 years. No.
I feel like it's letting my memory live on.
Oh, my God.
For girls getting drunk off jungle juice.
What would be, like, the sexy Sierra Schultze costume?
It'd be, like, a dad shirt.
I wonder if anyone will ever dress up as you for Halloween. I know you're going to say no. But, like, we've, like, in your Halloween costume videos last year, we did, like, Jenna Marbles and Shane Dawson. And I've seen people do, like, Tyler Oakley.
Yeah, but think about, like, those people and then, like, me.
I don't know. Maybe. That would be so weird. That'd if I get crazy. Tagged in a picture and someone's dressed up as you for Halloween. That'd maybe be not so this crazy. Year, but next year.
I don't think so.
I know. I know I'm, you're never
I don't
think
have anything
so.
Like I don't have a crazy enough style. Like people would just be like, "Oh, so like you didn't dress up."
Like you're just a basic like, white girl. Mom jeans. Like a fake Gucci belt. Like chihuahuas.
Yeah.
Anyway, do we want to get into today's podcast topic?
Yeah, let's transition into the podcast topic. I'm excited about this. Skylar and I were talking about this and I was like, we are both pretty open about like our mental health struggles, mm-hmm. but we honestly, I don't think you and I have ever like sat down and like had a conversation about like our history with everything and like our thoughts on certain things. We'll like tell each other when we're in like a particularly good spot or a particularly rough spot, but it's, I don't know. I feel like we've never really gotten in.
Well, especially because, so we met, like, 10 years ago, and we're friends for, like, a year or two. Yeah. Like, because we did theater together, but then we went to different high schools. And so then we were apart for like 2 years. And then we both went to charter and yeah. then became friends right as we both were going to charter. And so I feel like those 2 years were when like a lot of our like darkest,
yeah,
most like, issue-ridden times happened. And so we didn't really like catch up on all that stuff that happened. And so I feel like, I think we both kind of know what happened to the other person, and I don't think we'll get into specifics, but it's interesting because I feel like sometimes with the podcast, like, you and I frequently talk about body positivity.
Yeah.
And, like, where we're at. We've seen each other through a lot of the struggles, but I feel like with mental health, obviously, like, it's always a journey, and, like, it's something that both of us still deal with.
Yeah.
But, like,
we met so right, like, right after my, not met, but, like, we reconnected, yeah. like, right after my mental breakdown that caused me to leave, yep. like, traditional high school. Same. And so we talked about, like, it, but it had kind of passed.
Yeah. And also now that was what?
Oh, my gosh.
8 years ago?
Yeah.
Something like that.
8 years ago.
And so I feel like we probably briefly talked about what had happened to make us leave traditional high school. But I feel like it probably only happened, like, once, and it was probably like 6 or 8 years ago.
Yeah.
And so I feel like I like kind of know, and I feel like you kind of know, but like it'll be cool to like sit down and like talk about all of it.
Yeah,
it's so
interesting. And hopefully anyone who's listening to who's like gone through similar things or has a friend who's going through something can like understand our perspective. And yeah. one thing I really want to make sure that I address is that like these are our experiences. Like we are not mental health professionals. We are yeah. not counselors. We are not experts in our
at all.
We're only going to talk about how we've experienced our mental issues. And yeah. everyone who has, like, I have bipolar disorder. Everyone who has bipolar disorder experiences it differently.
Totally.
So the way I describe it, if someone's watching and has bipolar disorder, might be literally completely opposite of their experience.
Yeah.
And that's totally fine. And I don't want that to, like, invalidate someone else's experience.
Yeah.
So just know that, like, what we're talking about is our individual experiences.
Well, and also I think, like, a lot of times, I don't know. I feel like if you are someone, if you're in a rough spot, like, this could help you. But also, like, feel free to not listen.
Yeah.
Like, you're not obligated to, like, stick around if you think that, like, us talking about, like, anxiety yeah. and depression and all sorts of things could, like, trigger you in any way. I think this is just us sharing our experience so that people feel less alone and feel less, like, weird and ostracized about mental illness, because I do think it's, like, an important discussion to have.
Yeah.
You know?
I'm still always shocked at, because I on occasion we'll just like offhandedly mention on an Instagram story or like in a vlog like, oh, da 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 da, like with my bipolar and depression.
Yeah.
And I still like every single day get DMs of people being like, thank you for like talking about it. And I'm like, I didn't even talk about it. Like, yeah. I'm just living my life and that's like part of my experience as a human.
Yeah.
But so many people just don't talk about it.
Yeah.
Like they're I think so much progress has been made into totally. Like not having as much of a stigma. But still, I think there is this thing of, like, and I even felt this way before I, like, opened up about my bipolar disorder online, of, like, I don't want that to become, like, my identity
yeah.
online. I don't want to be, like, I'm not going to be, like, a mental health channel.
Totally.
But, like, I share my life, and that's part of my life. So when it's, yeah. like, pertinent to the situation, I'm going to talk about it.
Well, and also I think that this is probably the most that either of us will talk about it online.
Yeah.
Like, I feel like both of us, especially you, obviously, get a lot of questions about mental health and mental illness. And I know you've made, like, one or two vlogs about it. But I feel like this is probably the longest, like, sit-down
for
chat
sure.
that's, like, ever gonna happen.
Yeah, so here's everything.
Buckle up. So you briefly mentioned that you were diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Mm-hmm.
Do you want to talk a little bit about your history and then I'll get into mine?
Yeah. So growing up, I was always like a very happy-go-lucky kid. Like I really didn't struggle much with mental health through like early puberty and like childhood. Like I was pretty even keeled.
Yeah.
And then shortly after puberty, that's when my emotions just went really, really out of whack.
Yeah.
And around the age of, like, 14, I started having, like, really dark thoughts and just being really up and down. And I didn't understand why. And so it would be, like, one day I would be, like, silly, happy, class clown, all over the place, you know, everyone's best friend. And then the next day I would like shut down and not want to talk to anyone and be like, oh my gosh, like this is, I will never be happy again. Yeah. And I didn't understand what was going on. And then I ended up being hospitalized when I was 15. And I really had not told anyone, like not my friends, not my family. I had not told anyone like what I was feeling, what I was thinking, what I was going through. Like I very much internalized it. Mm-hmm. And so it just kind of all exploded, came out in like one really bad way. And so I ended up being hospitalized. And after that, then my parents were like so caught off guard because like I said, I had really internalized all that. So they were like, oh my gosh, we had no idea that you were feeling this way. Like, why didn't you tell us? And so after that is when I got into therapy. I left high school. I started doing independent study. And then I was really open with my parents about every up and down of every day. And they were so awesome.
Yeah.
And that's when I got really close with Kenzie. And that's when I got really close with you.
Yeah.
And I had some really, really great friends who like really understood and wanted to talk to me about it, which was great. And then it was really hard, I'd say. So that happened when I was 15.
Mm-hmm.
And then from like 15 to 18, I really struggled just getting the right. I tried like a million different medications. I got like 3 different diagnoses. I just felt really up and down. And then when I was about 18 is when I got diagnosed with bipolar disorder.
Yeah.
And got put on a medication that like really actually worked. Yeah. And it was like, I mean, I wasn't cured. I'll never be cured in parentheses like that. It's a chemical imbalance, but just being able to like put a name to it and identify it and be like, oh, that's not like, it's not a problem with me, it's a chemical imbalance, was like really powerful for me to be like, okay, like, because I would blame myself. I'd be like, why did I get so sad, or why did I do this, or why did I do that? And it's not an excuse, but it's an explanation of me being like, oh, I understand why I feel this way. I understand why I acted this way. And then also being able to get a legitimate medical plan for talk therapy, for medication, for coping mechanisms so that I could function better as a human. And so I'd say from 18 to now has been so much better.
Yeah.
I think part of that is therapy and medication and time, but I think a big part of it too is like being done with puberty.
Yeah.
I think the emotions that came with like,
well, and being like in a stable relationship.
Yeah. And like it just, I mean, even just the emotions of like my body changing, my mind changing and developing, like it was so it really like triggered, which we'll talk about triggers later, but like it triggered that up and down like cycle of having bipolar disorder. And so being able to put a name to it and like kind of problem solve was really helpful. Now what about you?
Well, I was gonna say too, on that, I've never thought about that with like struggling with bipolar disorder from a young age, that's probably like a very confusing, difficult thing.
Yeah,
because I feel like for me, my biggest thing is like anxiety disorder and then also like eating disorders, which we've already kind of talked about. So I'll talk primarily about anxiety in this episode. But I feel like for me, it was like very clear what was going on of like, first of all, it runs in my family. Like almost all of the women in my family have some sort of anxiety disorder.
Oh, and wow, so I didn't
it
was know that.
Like, it's really easy to be like, oh, well, like, this person has it, and this person has it, and this person, like, it's just, it sucks, because I feel like growing up, I saw that, and it wasn't, like, a desirable thing, but I also kind of understood, and the people around me understood. They're like, oh, panic attacks, we get it, like, you know, but I feel like that must have been such, a, like, an interesting thing with bipolar disorder. You saying that, like, you had days where you felt so high and then days where you felt so low. I feel like just, I've never thought about that.
Yeah.
Like, dealing with that as, like, a 13-year-old and not understanding what was happening.
Yeah, I really thought it was, like, a me. I mean, to a certain point, it is a me issue with my brain, but I thought it was, like, a me issue, like, with my emotions.
Yeah.
And I would get, like, really, it kind of allowed me to spiral because I didn't understand.
Mm-hmm.
And also, the way that bipolar tends to manifest in children is different than teens and different than adults.
Oh, that's so interesting.
I'm, again, not an expert. That's what my therapist told me. But so when I was young and I was like doing some Googling on like different like disorders or like learning about it in school. I like the symptoms of bipolar in children are so different than teens. So if I read the textbook definition of like what it's like for an adult or a child, that was not what it was like for me as a teen.
Interesting.
And so it was so like just little things. Like sometimes it would be like things like avoiding social interactions. And I'm like, oh, I don't do that. I love being around people. But it's like that it's going to be different for every person. It could be different for teens or for children. Yeah. And so I think once I got that diagnosis and like also once it was like out in the open that I was struggling, it became so much easier.
That's so interesting. Wow. Do you want to? I'm so glad we're having this conversation. I feel like I'm learning about you.
Do you want to go into kind of your history and your backstory with everything?
Yeah, for sure. So I like ever since I was super, super little have been like the most anxious introverted person. Like I skipped a grade when I was younger, and I don't think that necessarily helped because I feel like I went to the next grade up and everyone like thought I was a baby, and like I was kind of like ostracized for that, of like people thinking that like I don't belong. And like I switched schools a lot. Like I've probably been to like 10 different schools in my life, so I feel like always being like the new kid and then also like being shy, and like that's the whole reason why my mom put me in vocal lessons when I was like 5 or whatever, was because I like literally like wouldn't speak to people that weren't my mom, because she raised me as a single mom for like quite a bit of time until she married my stepdad, and so I was literally like only surrounded by adults. Like my mom had me when she was 22 and none of her other friends had kids around my age, and like she was a single mom, so it was like me sitting on the couch with like her and her friends, like listening to adult conversation, and like I didn't play with toys, like I only read, like I just was like very quiet and to myself. And so I feel like I've like always overthought everything since I was like very young, and I've also like always been very socially anxious, I think, because I think it's part of just like who I am, but I think also partially because I didn't do that much like interacting with other kids. And so I feel like I've always felt this need to like prove myself, of like, hey, like I belong here, like I'm old enough and I'm fine and everything's normal, whereas I think a lot of other kids just go through life and are like, oh yeah, like I'm just a kid and that's all there is to it. And so I think that, like, I think it was very apparent very early on. Like I think when I think back, like, I feel like I've kind of always had anxiety. I mean, I wasn't diagnosed with anxiety disorder until, like, middle school or whenever I went to, like, my first therapist. And that's just kind of been my diagnosis throughout my whole life. I've never, like, had to go on a, like, journey to discover what that was. Like, that was very clearly always the issue. But, like, even when I think back to, like, the first time I ever auditioned for a play, like, I literally, like, would not go in. And my mom was like, Skylar, like, you've been practicing with your vocal instructor for weeks. Like, you have everything memorized. Like, you're gonna get, like, it's fine. And I was like, I can't do it. Like, I can't even walk in the room. And so I feel like I've always had that issue. And so I think as I got older, I think we talked about a lot in the body positivity episode of, like, I struggled with eating disorders and all sorts of things. But when I was in my sophomore year, I, like, left because of mental health issues, too. And that's when, like, you and I got together, and I feel like I got to start, like, doing work that I was, like, passionate about and getting into, like, healthier relationships, and I don't know.
Yeah, I think high school especially can be, like, a really hard place to be struggling. Yeah. What was your experience like? Because you said you were kind of aware of it, like, through your childhood, like, going from childhood to, like, teen to adult. And has your anxiety always been the same way? Has it changed as you've grown?
I think that my anxiety has pretty much always been the same in how it manifests. I think the way that I cope with it is different. And the way I, like, manage it is different. I think it's, like, always been, like, just a lot of overthinking and a lot of, like, thinking that things are going to go the worst way possible, and also always feeling, like, very, like, I feel like I not assume the worst in people, but that I assume people assume the worst about me. Like, mm-hmm. I feel like I'm, like, overly apologetic because I, like, never want someone to think that I intentionally did something wrong yeah. when in reality that never happens. Yeah. But I feel like I just...
You overthink
it. I yeah. overthink it and think, oh, well, like, maybe they thought I was, like, not being cautious about this. Or maybe they thought I was, like, slacking off or whatever. When in reality, like, I know that's not the issue because I'm such a precautious person. But I think it just, like, is a lot of overthinking. Yeah, I think that, like, I've gone through a lot of different struggles in my life. And anxiety has always been kind of, like... The constant, which I think in a way is like, it's not, definitely not nice. That's the wrong word. But I think it's nice that I'm able to cope with it. And I like understand what sets me off. I mm-hmm. understand like what I can do to make a situation better with that. Yeah. I think other things I've struggled with, like, I, like, struggled with eating disorders, like, I've been sexually assaulted, like, I've gone through a lot of different things in my life where I'm like, this is, like, from left field, and I don't have coping mechanisms. And I think that's, like, when I would get to darker places versus, like, my anxiety, I feel like I know that, like, I just need to meditate, and I just need to, like, make a plan, I need to, like, make sure that I've done everything I can to prepare for a situation. Whereas sometimes when things come out of left field, like deaths or like whatever, I feel like it's harder to prepare yourself for that. Yeah. So, yeah.
So
sorry, I'm like getting out of breath. No, like we never talk good. About like heavy stuff, and so I feel like
no, you're good. Just, you're doing great, sweetie.
Oh, you too.
So where would you say you're at now? Like maybe that's a good way for us to segue into kind of like. Our thoughts on other topics and like how we're dealing with it now.
Yeah, so I think I'm in a really good spot now.
Good. I'm so glad to hear that.
And would you say the same for yourself?
I'd say good. I don't know if yeah. I would say really good, but I'd say I'm in a good spot.
I think that's also part of what we wanted to talk about is I think that there's a stigma that I think there's two kind of trains of thought. One is that like you are your mental disorder. Like, you're never going to overcome it, in quotation marks, because, like, it's a chemical imbalance, and, like, that's just something you're going to have to live with. And then I think there's this other train of thought that's, like, you have to overcome it. Like, that's what strength is. Strength is not having that, like, quote-unquote weakness. And I think that both of us kind of believe in it in between yeah. of, like, my goal is to be as, like, the least anxious as I can be.
Yeah.
And your goal is to be, like more, like...
The most balanced.
Yeah, balanced with your emotions as you can be. And I don't think, like, we don't owe our mental disorders anything. Yeah. Like, if someday I don't have anxiety anymore, that would be a miracle.
Yeah.
But I know that's not possible, and that's not a goal to set for myself. The goal to set for myself is to constantly be improving, constantly, like, to recognize when I'm getting into that headspace and to, like, try and shut it down.
Right.
You know?
I mean, I even got a message after I made a vlog, like, almost a year ago where I was, like, in a low spot for my yeah. bipolar disorder and, like, really in a deep low, and I made a video talking about it. And I got a DM, like, recently from that video that was like, how dare you say that you were working to overcome your disorder? Like, how dare you make people think that they can overcome it and that they can, like, improve? And I was like, I didn't respond because there's no reason to.
Yeah.
But, like, in the way I think of it, like, you're right. I will probably never completely overcome having bipolar disorder. But that doesn't mean that I'm just going to sit back and, like,
let it control
my life and just be like, well, that's me. Yeah. I have bipolar disorder. I have depression. Like, that's the way it is. Like, no, I'm going to try to do the things that I can and make the steps that I can to make myself the highest functioning version of me yeah. that I can. Like, if I'm having a bad day, I'm not just going to be like, well, this is it. I'm going to lay in bed all day. Like, sometimes totally. That's what ends up happening. But, like, I'm going to try to do the coping mechanisms that I have and the things that I've learned to make it better so that I can live my life the way I would like to. Like,
yeah, I feel like it's people who are, like, kind of in the thick of it and they want to drag you down there too, yeah. you know?
Which
of,
I like, get.
Oh, totally. Yeah. But it's one of those things where, like, you only have one life. Yeah. Like, if you can have a better day, if you can, like, pull from your toolbox of coping mechanisms and figure out how to, like, get out of bed and take a shower and put on a new pair of pajamas, that is a win.
Yeah.
Like, why would you not try your hardest to get there if you have those tools that you can grab from?
Yeah.
Like, obviously, when you're young or before you go to therapy or whatever state you're in, like, you might not have those tools.
Yeah.
So it might seem like it's never going to get better. And I think that, like, for both you and I would guess that, like, we're both always going to have those, like, setbacks.
Yeah.
But, like, hopefully as we go through life, we're just going to keep accruing, yeah, like, methods of dealing with it. And I don't know. Like, I feel like I, like, when I have a panic attack now, first of all, it's much less often than it used to be when I was a teenager. But now, like, I'd say maybe it happens once a month.
Yeah.
Maybe a little less, depending on, like, where I'm at and what's happening in my life. But now I'm able to cope with it. So maybe my panic attack is, like, 20 minutes versus, like, an hour and then, like, an hour of, like, aftermath of, like, me shaking and, like, dealing with all the things, like, because now I'm able to understand, like, this is what's happening to my body, we've been here before, like, let me try and, like, shut it down, because, yeah, I know this isn't proactive, I know this isn't all those things. And so I feel like overcoming, in quotation marks, your mental disorder is just, like, learning how to deal with it so you can continue living your best, healthiest, most functioning life.
Absolutely. I mean, when I was in high school, if I was in, I mean, the thing with the way my bipolar disorder is I have very high highs and very low lows.
Yeah.
And a lot of the times those will come in waves of, like, a week. So I could be totally quote unquote normal for, let's say, 3-4 months, like,
yeah,
very even keeled, no problems. And then I will have a really, really high high for, like, 3 days and be, yeah, like, manic. And then I'll come down and for maybe a week just feel absolutely, like, rock bottom. The difference is now when I'm in those high highs, I can identify, because of, like, understanding it more, mm-hmm, going through therapy, I can understand, like, okay, yes, maybe this life seems perfect and amazing right now, and I, yeah, feel like I could conquer the world and do anything, but I need to kind of not just let myself go so that, mm-hmm, the fall isn't as hard.
Yeah.
And then when I do have that fall and I am in a low, like, the past maybe 5-6 days, I was in a low until yesterday. I woke up and I was like, I feel normal again. This is great. But, like, the 5 days before that were really hard.
Yeah.
But the difference is now, because I have worked to overcome it,
yeah,
is when I was in high school, it was like, I will never be happy again. Oh my gosh, everything is awful. The world is awful. I hate my life. And now it's like, I feel really bad. I can't wait for this to be over. What can I do to try to make it end? Like, make, yeah, this period end quicker. And I think that's the difference. And in, mm-hmm, my brain, what I see as overcoming it,
yeah,
it's not that I never have low lows anymore. Mm-hmm. I do. That's the reality. But I don't see it as, like, I know that it's going to get better. Like, yeah, I know there's a way out, and I know what I can do to function. Like, yeah, even I didn't, I was very proud of myself. That whole, like, 5-day low, like, I don't think I canceled a work day. I don't think I, yeah, like, canceled a workout. I don't think I, like, I was living my life.
But I think, like, I think the part of the reason why you're able to do that is, one, because, like, you've established, like, you are able to cope with it and you're able to see, like, the light at the end of the tunnel and know that it is going to end. Like, yep, this is a temporary feeling. But I also think a lot of it is, like, candor and honesty.
Yes.
And being able to, like, there were probably 5 or 6 times where we were on a shoot last week where you told me, you're like, hey, like, I'm feeling a little out of it. Let me know if, like, my energy is really low, or, like, let me know this, that, and the other, because you know that I understand what that means for you.
Yeah.
And it's not like, hey, I'm feeling really sad, we have to cancel everything forever, I'm quitting YouTube.
Yeah.
It's like, hey, we're still gonna do this.
Yeah.
I'm having kind of a tough day. Let me know if, like, my energy seems low.
Well, and you know? I think that's a big difference, too, between me and high school. Just being like, I'm happy, I'm fine, everything's great, I have, yeah, no problems. And then now, like, waking up and being like, hey, like, telling Steven before he leaves, like, hey, I feel really bad.
Yeah.
Like, can you do the things that you know help me?
Yeah.
And so he will. And then when you and Carly come into the office, I can be like, yeah, I'm like feeling kind of bad today. Yeah. And then like, again, just knowing that I don't have to like keep up that act.
Yeah.
It's like, oh my, it's exhausting.
Yeah.
It's exhausting trying to keep up that act.
Well, and I also feel like for both of us, like our partners are such like helpful resources with that. Of like, Kyle does the exact same thing. Like even this morning I was so anxious. Like I literally, I think I've probably been late to like our home office like 3 times. And it's always like 5 minutes late. But I was like, Kyle, like, I'm going to get there right at 9 o'clock if I were to leave now. So, like, I need your help. And he's like, cool, I'm going to pack your lunch for you.
Yeah.
Like, I'm going to lock up. I'm going to whatever. And I was, like, 10 minutes early. But, like, it's me being like, I'm so anxious. Like, I cannot be late to anything ever. I can't whatever. Being like, I need your help. Yeah. And him being like, cool, got it. Like, I know that Kyle knows that even if I were to leave 10 minutes later and be on time, it would be fine. Or if I were to leave 20 minutes later and be 10 minutes late, you would understand.
Of course.
But it's him knowing that, like, okay, there's no convincing her that, like, everything's fine.
Yeah.
So I'm just going to pack her lunch. I'm just going to lock up. I'll feed the cats. I'll do whatever. And I feel like having a partner who understands when you're like, hey, I need help.
Yeah.
What that means, and not having to explain, like, can you please do this for me and this and this and this because I'm unable to do it right now. Them just knowing, cool, that's the signal.
Yeah.
Let me help in these ways is so, so helpful.
And even when I was in high school, after I, like, opened up to my parents about everything and they were able to be those resources for me, that was a huge game changer too, because my mom would see that I was in a rough spot, or I would tell her and she'd be like, hey, like, let's go on a hike.
Yeah.
Like, let's go get you out of this environment. Let's go.
Awesome.
And that's why I think it's so important to talk to the people around you.
Totally.
Because just, I'm like literally going to get emotional about it. Like, just being in that place on your own, it's so hard to get out of it.
Yeah.
And when you have like a best friend or a partner or a parent who you can be like, hey, I'm not doing well. And they can do the things that, you know, they can
not only
you.
Be receptive of that, but be helpful.
Yeah.
Is life changing.
It really. So if any of you guys are struggling out there, like, I cannot recommend enough.
Yeah.
Talk to someone, like, tell someone, and then communicate with that person. And it's, oh my gosh, is it so much easier?
Yeah.
Like, it's truly life changing, I think. And I think one of the things that, so when Steven and I started dating, I told him, like, I think 2 or 3 weeks after we started talking, I was like, hey, just putting it out there, like, so you know, like, I have bipolar disorder, I've dealt with depression, kind of, here's my history, and I was like, you know, I just want you to know, like, I'm not looking for someone to fix me, like, I don't want you to, like, enable me or feel like it's your responsibility, but just so you know, like, it's helpful for me to have someone who I can, like, talk to about. And I think that was really important for me, because the relationship I had before that, I think I, like, relied on that person to, like, save me.
Yeah.
And I think setting up those, like, boundaries and expectations is really helpful.
Mm-hmm.
Because now when I'm, like, in a dark place and I tell Steven, he doesn't feel like it's his job to get me out of it. But he also knows the things that he can do that will help me.
Mm-hmm.
He knows that, like, if I'm having a rough day, if he calls me at lunch, like, that will help me and just, like, encourages me, that'll help me.
Yeah.
And, but it's not his responsibility to, like, fix my life.
Totally. Do we want to talk a little bit about, like, dating people and, like, feeling like you have to give that disclaimer or, like, having that conversation?
What are your opinions on that? Because for me, I felt, sorry, I asked you a question and cut you off. For me, I felt like I wanted to tell Steven because I didn't want it to be a surprise.
Mm-hmm.
And then also just kind of like from a maybe not the healthiest place, I felt like I was scared of him like finding out about it and then being like, oh, like, I don't want to like too much baggage. I don't want to like once we were in too deep, which like, I don't know. What do you think? Do you think that it's important to, like, tell someone, like, tell that person, or?
So, again, like we've said multiple times, these are all our opinions. Obviously, live your life the way that you want to live your life. I think that to me, like, honesty is always the best policy. Like, yeah. I just, that's something that, like, I truly try and, like, live my life by of, I think that for me, it's, like, very, very important to be open and honest about that because I want the same in return. Like, yeah. I think that if you're going to, like, especially if you're committing to be in a monogamous relationship with someone,
yeah.
I think it's important to be able to, like, know everything going into it. Like, if someone has, like, anger management problems, like, I would like to know that.
Yeah.
Like, if you know that you have anger problems and, like, we're about to, like, be committed to each other, just let me know.
Yeah.
And then I can make my own decisions.
Yeah.
You know, especially because I think that a lot of issues are... fixable is the wrong word. But I think, like, when you're diagnosed with a mental disorder, like how we've said previously, like, I'm probably always going to be an anxious person.
Yeah.
Whether I have panic attacks for the rest of my life or that's just something that happens between the ages of, like, 10 and 30, I don't know. But I know that, like, I'm just always going to be anxious.
Yeah.
Like, I just know that for myself. Whereas something like having anger issues is something that you might be able to work through, yeah. you know? And so I think... for me, it's really important to be open and honest about it.
Yeah.
I don't know. What do you think?
I think I don't personally, like, I wouldn't, let's say I wasn't married, like, I wouldn't tell someone who I was just, like, hooking up with.
Yeah, totally.
But, like, that's why I didn't tell Steven, like, when we first started going on a few dates, because I was like, I don't know where this is going to go.
Yeah.
I don't think it's my responsibility to disclose to someone after one date, like, my entire mental history.
Yeah.
But I think once Steven and I started getting to a place where we were, like, more serious and, like, actually being monogamous is, like, it was a huge weight off my shoulders where I didn't feel like I have to, like, keep up this appearance.
Yeah.
And I can just be like, hey, this is where I'm at. And also I think it helps that he knows,
yeah,
like, how to help me and what I'm going through. And also, like I said, setting those expectations of, like, I don't expect you to fix me.
Yeah.
I don't need to be fixed. I'm not broken. Yeah. I just need a little tweaking here and there, and yeah. I can do that with a little help from my friends.
Well, and I also feel like it depends on, like, how it manifests for you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, my biggest thing that I don't really ever talk about is, like, I have been sexually assaulted before, and, like, that's a big reason why I left high school.
Yeah.
And, like, even after then, like, I was sexually assaulted again. And so I think, like, for me with Kyle, before we were monogamous, before anything, like, I felt the need to tell him because, like, I think, like, I honestly don't know how I would be if I was single now, but now it's, like, totally fine because Kyle's my partner and I trust and I love him and everything's great. But I think, like, establishing, like, we're in a safe space, like, we, like, you're someone I trust, I love you, like, I'm comfortable, like, sleeping in the same bed as you, I'm, you know, like, I think I, like, had such fears associated to that and, like, negative connotations when it came to, like, men and a lot of things. And so for me, I don't even think I told him that I had anxiety for quite a while, probably like at least a month or two, yeah, of like when it came up, because for me that was something I was able to manage, whereas me being like, hey, just so you know, I need a little more than a normal person would, like, I need you to, like, not just come up behind me and, like, hug me and, like, try and, like, scare hug me, like, I'm totally fine with a from behind hug, but, like, don't just come up behind me in the kitchen and be like, boo, I gotcha. Like, that's not cool for,
yeah,
me,
yeah,
you know? And so I think it depends on where you're at. I think you should never feel like you are broken and, like, you have to tell someone something, like, to disclose it because you're afraid that, like, they're going to leave.
Yeah.
But also acknowledge that, like, when a person is, like, getting into a relationship with you, like, I personally, maybe that's controversial, I think that, like, they should know. Yeah. Like, I think if someone's committing to, like, being with me, knowing that, I mean, now I probably only have panic attacks, like I said, once a month, but for a while it was, like, every week. Like, that's a big thing. If we're gonna live together and I'm gonna be, like, crying and hyperventilating and not able to breathe in the bathroom, like, that's something that person should know, right, before we agree to live together, like you would with a roommate or, you know.
Yeah.
So I think it is kind of a hard balance of, I think you have to kind of establish for yourself when you tell someone or how you tell someone or if you tell someone. But for me, I think, like, honesty is the best policy.
Yeah.
Especially if it's going to affect that person. Like you said, with a hookup, like, you having depression probably won't affect you hooking up with a guy at a bar.
Yeah.
You don't need to tell him.
You can if you want.
You can if you want.
Yeah.
Honesty is the best policy. But, like, it's fine to just, like, have fun times or whatever. But I think if you are dating someone because you want them to be your life partner, I think just letting them know everything is always good.
That, when you were talking about that, that brought up an interesting topic in my mind that we hadn't, like, talked about before. So it's fine if you don't want to talk about it. But I think about this a lot for me. How do you interact with, like, how your disorder, like, your anxiety is part of your personality? Because I think for me, as someone with bipolar disorder, like, I have a hard time, like, differentiating those two.
Yeah.
Where, like, I think that part of my bipolar disorder is sometimes a big part of my personality.
Yeah.
Like, the fact that I am so bubbly and so extroverted is probably part of me being bipolar.
Yeah.
Like, it's probably part of me being so up and down. Like, the fact that I feel things so deeply and I, like, really connect with people on an emotional level is also probably part of that. How do you, like, another, like, I'm always, like, a lot of people view me, especially, like, in my family, as, like, I'm, like, the fun person. Like, I'm, like, the person who's, like, always down to do something crazy.
Yeah.
I think that's maybe part of my mental disorder.
Yeah.
How do you feel about that? Do you feel like there are parts of your disorder that are parts of your personality?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, even a lot of times on this podcast, like, I feel like I'll joke and be like, because I have anxiety. Like, I think for me, it's, I feel like because it's my anxiety, I feel okay, like, even, like, sometimes joking about it. Like, I think I don't think it's ever okay to joke about mental illness as a whole. Or to joke about, like, if I were to make a joke about depression, like, I don't think that's okay. Or even if I were to make a joke about, like, general anxiety, like, I think that that can be really upsetting for other people who struggle with that. But because I feel like it's something that, like, personally affects me, it's, like, my issue. Yeah. I feel like I feel okay letting it be a part of me. Yeah. Kind of like how, like, we talk about all the time with, like, you making, like, self-deprecating jokes.
Yeah.
Of, like, if, like, the other day we were sitting there and my shirt just, like, ripped open. And I was like, well, guess my pregnancy boobs are really coming in. Like, literally, like, busting through my shirts. Like, guess I'll, like, have to get one from your Poshmark pile. Like, what are we, you know? Like, to me, that's okay because I'm like, haha, this is, like, my body and my shirt and I'm making a joke about it.
Yeah.
If you were just like, haha, bet your shirt's gonna bust open because those pregnancy boobs, like, that wouldn't be okay. That would be weird and whatever.
Yeah.
But I feel like it's, for me, it's okay because it's, like, my issue. And I don't think everyone feels that same way, but I think part of it's, like, I don't know.
Like, with you, I feel like one of the things that with your personality is, like, how you said, like, you are always on time and you always, like, apologize for things or, like, super polite. Yeah. That's part of your personality. But as you were explaining it, that's also, like, part of you having anxiety.
Yeah.
And I think that's another thing for me that's hard for my own is to, like, do I need to separate? Like, do you think you have to separate, like, this is part of my anxiety and so it is, like, not healthy? Or, like, you know what? This is part of my personality.
I wonder, it's too.
So complicated.
I wonder. I've never heard a discussion on, like, whether or not it's okay to like aspects of your mental disorder.
Do you think it's okay?
I don't know. I've never even thought about that before. And I've never heard anyone talk about
it. Me neither. Well, because they're part of my personality, right?
Because in some ways, like, trust and believe. Like, I, more than anyone, like, I know how much my anxiety sucks. Like, it sucks with a capital S.
Yeah.
But, like, I do like that I'm a punctual person. I like that I'm, like, very organized. I like that, like, I, like, always have, like, 20 steps. Like, if whenever something bad happens, I feel like I'm the person who, like, I've already thought that that could happen. And so I already have, like,
you're already prepared.
Ideas in mind of, like, even, like, I don't want to get into it a ton, but, like, my hamster passed away last week, 2 weeks ago, something like that. And, like, for the last 6 months, I've thought, like, oh, like, Poppy could pass away. Like, this is, like, something that's going to happen. Like, hamsters don't have, like, the longest lifespan. So I feel like I would go up all the time and, like, check on her, like, frantically. And Kyle would be like, she's literally fine. She's, like, running on her wheel. Like, why are you concerned with her health? And I'm like, it's because I'm anxious. Like, I don't want this to happen. But so when it happened, I felt, like, kind of prepared of, like, okay, here's the plan. Like, let's call your mom. Let's, like, look this up and this up. Let's, like, I have steps in my mind because in my brain, I feel like the worst case scenario is, like, not a possibility, but, like, I've thought of it, if that makes sense. And so I do feel like I'm better at dealing with, like, if I, like, get in a car crash or Kyle gets hurt or, like, if something like that happens, which is, like, really negative, I feel like I'm able to, like, compartmentalize and be like, okay, I thought this might happen. Let me, like, call this person. Let me do this, this, and this. And I do really like that about myself. And so I feel like it's hard because I for sure think that's a thing that came because of my anxiety.
Yeah.
But also it's a question of, like, when did I develop my anxiety? Like, was I born with it?
Yeah. Well, and then it's hard to separate too, right? Like, let's say in some alternate reality you don't have anxiety. Are you still a punctual person? Is that part of, like, where does the anxiety end and, like, the personality type and aspect begin, and how intertwined are they? I think that's something I think about all the time with my bipolar disorder. Like, even with positive things, like you were saying, like, it's easier with negative things to be like, oh, was that me or was that, like, my imbalance? But with positive things, like, part of the reason that I work so much and I'm so driven, I think, is because that's when I'm in a very high manic state.
Yeah, totally.
And so, like, when it's a bad thing, it's easy for me to be like, oh, I'm having trouble being productive or getting out of bed because I am in a low for my bipolar disorder. This is bad. But when I'm, like, doing great and really driven and making all of these plans and staying up all night editing, like, that on the outside looks like a good thing. Yeah. It's like I am producing, especially with my job being, like, you know, my own boss. Like, it's up to me. If, like, I think I was low key in kind of a manic state for, like, all of December last year.
Yeah.
Like, I literally was I was looking back at my schedule. I didn't have an editor. The only person working with me was you.
Yeah.
I was doing.
And I was super part-time.
Yeah.
Like, still, like, kind of fluctuating between, like, part-time and full-time. But that was, like, I was in LA.
Yeah. I filmed all my videos here on my own.
Yeah.
And I was doing 3 main channel videos a week, Vlogmas every day, and, like, posting Instagram pictures and, like, trying to, like, do things with my family. So on the outside, it looks like, wow.
What a productive. I bet that month was great for all things analytics.
Yeah, like, but so driven, like, so great. And then on the inside, I look back at it and, like, I'm like, oh, wait, that maybe wasn't good. Or if I didn't have bipolar disorder, how driven would I still be?
Yeah.
I don't know. And so it's really a hard thing for me to, like, analyze.
This is such an interesting conversation. Is that, like, vain to say on a podcast? To be like, the conversation we're having is very interesting.
But
because I've never had this conversation before. And I think it is so interesting to, because I feel like from an outsider's perspective, like, if someone were to just ask me, like, is it all right to, like, love your mental disorder? I would say no. Yeah. I would say that sounds unhealthy.
Yeah.
Like, you should work on, like, striving to be better. You should work on, like, all these things. But when I actually think about it, I think, like, my mental disorder is definitely not all that I am, but it really has shaped me.
Yeah.
You know?
It's a part of you.
I think especially because I feel like a lot of people get, like, diagnosed or their mental disorder, like, comes, like, later in life. Like, maybe high school, maybe in their 30s, maybe whatever. But, like, I literally feel like I was born with it. Like, every female in my family has it. And, like, it's just, like, looking back to, like, the littlest things. Like, even on last week's podcast, we posted, like, our, like, embarrassing photos to pop up. Like, the photo that I posted was me and my cousin, who are, like, the exact same age, got baby dolls for Christmas for my grandma. And I literally, like, was, like, crying and stressed out because I was, like, why are you giving me a baby? Like, I'm 4 years old. Like, I can't take this responsibility. Like, I don't have a job. Like, what am I going to do? And my other cousin was like, do-do-do, and, like, threw it in a corner.
Yeah.
And, like, it's, like, so funny and silly. And, like, I think it's funny and silly because that's, like, so who I am. And, like, it makes sense. But, like, the fact that I was 4 years old and got a baby doll for Christmas and was like, why did you do this to me? Like, I can't take this responsibility. Like, I had so much anxiety being like, how am I going to take care of this child? I am but a child. Like, you know? And so I think it is interesting because I think, like, that's just who I am.
Yeah.
You know? I feel like it's almost like looking back and being like, look at me in this, like, Pokemon shirt. Like, yeah. That's so funny because that's so true to, like, who you are now. Like, yeah. I feel like looking back, I'm like, that's so funny because that's, like, so me. Like, so stressed out and so whatever. And so it's interesting because I don't know.
When I feel like it's a fine line between romanticizing mental illness and, yes. like, being open about it. And I think I kind of fell into romanticizing it when I was in high school.
Mm-hmm.
Like, even the whole era of, like, the manic pixie dream girl.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the, oh, she's broken, but she's beautiful. Like,
yeah.
She's conflicted. She's deep.
Mm-hmm.
It's, like, I think I kind of was like, yeah, that's me. Instead of being like, well, maybe I should work on that.
Especially, like, in young adult novels and, like, the whole, like, Tumblr era is, like, there was such a, like, beautiful emphasis in quotation marks put on, like, smoking cigarettes and being depressed, or, like, even a lot of, like, the John Green books that used to be, like, my absolute favorite books are, like, about young girls who have some sort of mental disorder, and then, like, guys, like, fantasize over them and are, like, obsessed with them because they're imperfect, because they're, like, running away from home, because they're depressed. And I feel like that's not okay.
Well, I think it can be a really fine line for things like Tumblr,
yeah.
of feeling seen,
mm-hmm.
and feeling like people are being open about their anxiety and their depression,
yeah.
and that's great, and I feel seen, and I understood. And then, like, romanticizing it, and, like, I think that honestly was one of, like, my triggers in high school that kind of made me spiral.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I literally had two Tumblrs, one where I would post, like, kind of, like, depressed artsy stuff, and another where I would just, like, I don't think you could favorite back then. I don't know what not reblogging was, but, like, liking the content was of, like, liking, like, Thinspiration and, yeah. like, really, really dark stuff.
Yeah.
And, like, that's just, like, not okay.
Yeah.
Like, if I found out that my little sister had, like, a place where she could go, I mean, she does with social media, but, like, a site like that where, like, you can search, like, Thinspiration or whatever.
Depression.
And like, yeah. get these things that just, like, sink you down lower.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's so crazy. That, I mean, I'm sure it still exists.
Yeah.
But.
Well, and I think, for me, like, my bipolar disorder, I don't think has ever really been romanticized.
Yeah.
But depression has, and I had I would say, I don't know if right now I would say I'm really struggling with depression as much. I think
yeah.
that's kind of a symptom of the bipolar disorder. Mm-hmm. But in high school, I definitely was. And I, like, very much identified with, like, all the, like, depression romanticization.
Yeah.
But I feel like anxiety is something, especially now in, like, the past 2-3 years, that's, like, I mean, even, like, who was it? Someone made merch that was, like, my anxiety has anxieties.
Mm-hmm.
How do you feel about that, since that's something that you've connected with?
I mean, I think that's, like, a totally different ballgame of, like, monetizing, like, off of a mental illness. Like, I that kind of rubs me the wrong way.
Yeah, like does that make you feel seen? Like, oh, someone else is struggling? No.
Not at all. Maybe okay. if I was, like, a 13-year-old girl and my favorite creator came out with that, I would be like, wow, how cool that, like, they also, like, understand what I'm going through.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, like, as an adult looking in on it, like, the fact that you're profiting off of, like, young viewers identifying with having mental disorders is just, like, kind of gross to me.
Yeah.
Sorry, not to call out whoever that was.
No, but I don't even remember who it was.
I don't know. It's all such a tricky thing, which I think is why we've said multiple times, like, these are our personal thoughts, and, like, I would love for, like, discussion to be sparked because of it, because I do think that, like, having conversations about mental health is so important.
Yeah.
But,
well, I think it's kind of, like, threefold. It's, like, feeling seen, like, okay, someone understands me, someone gets me, and then, like, kind of allowing that to let you spiral and,
yeah.
and be a trigger for you to feel worse,
mm-hmm.
which I think definitely is what happened to me. And then I think now it's kind of evolved into, like, and now we're profiting off of it.
Yeah.
And so, but also at the same time, I'm like, if that's your mental struggle and you are profiting off of it, like, again, with the intersection with your personality,
yeah.
like, let's say someone writes music about, like, their struggles with mental health.
Yeah.
And then they sell that music and make money off of it. I think that's fine.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
I think, okay, so for me, the big thing is now we're talking about, like, the age of social media yeah. and, like, art and music versus social media personalities and, like, merchandise.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily think it's healthy for your mental disorder to be, like, your brand.
Mm.
Like, I think.
But what if that's part of your personality? Like, for me, kind of my brand is being loud and extroverted and all over the place.
But your brand, you wouldn't come out with merch that says, like, I'm
bipolar AF.
Yeah, like I just, you know what I mean? Like yeah. I think there's a difference between having that be a part of your identity and like creating art inspired by it or people like naturally relating to it. And then another thing to like push merchandise, push whatever and have that become a part of like your brand.
So let's take me for example, because I feel like it's easier for me to be like judgmental when it's of myself.
Yeah.
Let's say, like, I came out with merch that just said manic on it. I think that would be problematic. What do you think?
Yeah.
Yeah?
I agree.
Now let's say I wrote a song called Manic that was about my struggle with being, like, having ups and downs. And then I sold that song on iTunes and made a music video about it.
I feel like that's okay.
That's okay? Then what if I... I
feel like that's kind of, like, what Gabby Hanna does. And I feel like that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. Like and Dodie.
Yeah.
And I think... Like, I get a lot of, like, connection by, like, listening to music like that. Totally. But now let's say I, kind of an in-between, let's say I wrote a book called Manic that was about, like, my struggles with it, and then I sold that book.
I feel like that's also okay.
So why do you think the merch is different because it's, like...
It might also be, like, my perception of, I think that... Like, we're still coming around to a time where, like, social media and, like, YouTube and Instagram and all that is viewed as, like, as valuable as, like, a book. Like, a hardcover mm-hmm. book. Or, like, an album. Like, I think that, like, to me, still in my head, it's hard to process that, like, making a hoodie is as much creative art as, like, writing an entire memoir.
Yeah, that's true.
And I guess that's a debate of, like, I think that that might also just be me being judgmental. But also, like, I work for a social media influencer and, like, have helped you with your clothing line. And, like, yeah. I think that I understand how much work goes into it just as much as the next guy. But I think that, like, there's something different about, like, writing a memoir or writing a song, like, from your perspective yeah. on an issue that you personally struggle with versus just taking one or two words and, like, slapping them on something.
Yeah. Yeah, I see that. You know? I see that. I think that's kind of the spot that I think I draw the line at least.
Do you wanna, switching gears a little bit, do you wanna talk a little bit about like trigger culture?
Yeah.
Cause I think that both of us let me know because I'm speaking for you. So if I'm speaking incorrectly.
Speak for me, girl.
Let me know. I think that both of us went through a time where like we didn't quite understand trigger culture. Like, I think a couple of years ago, it was, like, a really, like, hot button, like, kind of almost like a meme of, like, triggered. Like, ah, you, like, talked about Shrek and, like, now I'm triggered or whatever. But I think that, like, triggers are valid. Yeah. And I think that, like, it's always hard when, like, something becomes a meme to be like, no, but like really that's a valid thing. Like I think that we'll probably like record some sort of like trigger warning for this podcast.
Absolutely.
You know?
Just because I think in the same, I think of a trigger warning like how people, how there's a like ratings for movies.
Yes.
Like I wouldn't want to take my 5-year-old child into an R-rated movie.
Yeah.
I would like to have some sort of pretense at the beginning on what I can expect. And so I think putting a trigger warning at the beginning of this podcast, just being like, hey, just letting you guys know, here are some of the things that could potentially trigger that we're talking about. Just letting them know.
Because, like, even for me, listening to podcasts, if I'm listening to a podcast that's usually, like, a light, fun, happy podcast, and all of a sudden they started talking about, like, sexual assault and depression and, like, dropping out of school and all these things, like, that would be upsetting to yeah. me.
Depending on the place that I'm in.
Too. Yeah. Like, if I was, like, driving to, like, hang out with family, like, I might have to, like, cancel hanging out with family for the night. And, like, I think it's important to, like, listen to those conversations and have these conversations. But also, I think it's important to let people know, like, hey, if you want to listen to, like, silly, silly fun times, listen to, like, our last 4 episodes. But, like, if you want to, like, if you are, like, sitting at home on the weekend and, like, want to, like, really think about it and, yeah, like, have the conversation, like, let's create a space for that.
And I think I would have benefited a lot from trigger warnings when I was in high school. Also, mm-hmm, just having an understanding of triggers.
Yes.
Like, I thought of triggered as, like, a meme.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I thought of it as, like, a joke. But I, now looking back, I think Tumblr was, like, a huge trigger for me.
Yeah.
I think reading books and listening to music that, like, went into detail about, like harming yourself, yes, and, like, being in a dark place, I think that was really bad for me.
Oh, yeah. I think that, like, I feel like it's so hard to say, like, as a parent, because, like, I'm not a parent yet, and, like, I don't know where the world will be in, like, 16 years, but I think, like, that's also part of being a parent, like, being so cognizant of that and, like, mm-hmm, understanding what your kids are consuming. I know it's harder with the internet nowadays, but I feel like if someone had seen, like, the, like, my search history on my computer and, like, seen, like, even just seen, like, my Tumblr blog, even, like, my public one,
yeah,
like, not even, like, my sad, depressing one, like, my one where I would, like, still post, like, looking for Alaska quotes or whatever, like, yeah, that's, like, you shouldn't be doing that. Or, like, certain, like, poetic books that I was reading, like, were really dark and talked about self-harm and talked about suicide and talked about all these things. And, like, if, like, yeah, I was about to call it some things by name, but I won't.
Well,
but,
and I think I would seek out those triggers.
Exactly.
Because I wanted to spiral.
Exactly.
But I would put, and I remember my mom used to call me out and be like, I don't know if, like, listening to that music is, like, maybe the best for your mental health when you're in that state. I'd be like, you just don't understand. Yeah. Like, I feel like I was using it as a mask for, like, connection. I was, mm-hmm, like, no, no, no. Like, that's a connection for me. Like, that's, like, yeah, me, like, me feeling seen and understood. But I don't think that's what it was most of the time.
Yeah.
And I think the one of the things that just kind of blew my mind thinking about it. So, like, when I was in high school, I used to get migraines, like, before, yeah, I had, all through, like, my struggles with mental illness. It was unrelated. But one of my actual triggers, like, medical triggers for migraines was, like, splashing water in my face. Like, if I got, like, hit with a squirt gun in the eye, or, like, someone, like put a hose on my face in the summer, yeah, or something like that, that would trigger a migraine. And so, like, my family knew, don't squirt Sierra with water because that can medically trigger a migraine.
Yeah.
But I wasn't treating my mental illness the same way. Yeah. I wasn't, like, going to these places and listening to these things can trigger my mental illness, so I should not do that. I viewed it as separate.
Yeah.
And in reality, I think it's kind of the same thing.
Yeah. And I think it's interesting, too, because I feel like we both have, like, such a shared experience with that. And, like, I feel like it's only happened maybe, like, a couple times since I've, like, been an adult where I've done that, because now I recognize.
Yeah.
But now if I do it, I recognize that I'm doing it.
Yeah.
And, like, I'm able – but – and it's still unhealthy, but I feel like I only do it when it's needed. Of, like, even, like, a couple months ago, I, like, worked my last theater show. And, like, people can always say, like, who knows? Like, you could do a theater show in 20 years when, like, your son's grown up. But, like, for me, it was important to, like, draw the line of, like, this is my last theater show. If I end up volunteering, if I end up whatever, like, that's great. But, like, I need to, like, say goodbye, and, like, that's what it's going to be.
Yeah.
And so, like, I made a playlist on Spotify called, like, Songs About Theater That Make Me Cry or Songs About Art That Make Me or whatever.
Yeah.
And I, like, told myself, like, I'm not going to listen to this. Like, I'm only allowed to listen to this when I'm driving home from my opening night, and that's the only time I'm allowed to cry. Like, yeah, that's – and I still, like, that's not – good to, like, manifest that, but I do feel like I needed to get those emotions out. And so, at least me setting the regulations of, like, okay, I'm not crying, I'm not listening to any sad music, this is just going to be a happy night, it's going to be a happy week, a happy life, I'm allowed to be sad because it's, like, a period of my life that's ending.
Yeah.
But, like, I'm only allowed to be sad for, like, an hour and a half.
Yeah.
And then, like, I just have to, like, move on. Like, I just have to, you know. And so it's interesting, say, I think, like, if I were to talk to, like, a therapist about that, like, that's still not a healthy thing, and I'm not recommending that anyone do that.
But is it? Because you're allowing yourself to feel.
And so, see, I think that's the, like, that's difference, the too. Issue of, I personally think that's a million times more healthy than what I did in high school of, like, just listening to, like, the song from Cyberbully, like, over and over again and, like, crying in my, you know? Like
I'm sorry I'm laughing, but it's because I did the same thing. You
know, it's a shared experience. But I think it's a lot healthier to be like, hey, I understand, Skylar, that, like, this is a huge life thing you're going through. It's okay to be sad about it, but, like, there is an end.
Yeah.
Of, like when Poppy passed away, I was like, I'm taking the next day off work. I'm just gonna, like, be sad and cry about it all day and, like, have soup for dinner. But then after that, I have to move on.
Well, it wouldn't have been healthy for you to just be like, well, I'm not gonna let myself be sad about it. And I'm going to work the next day and everything's fine.
And it also wouldn't be healthy for me to let my life be controlled by that. Yeah. You know?
So I think it's a balance.
Yeah. And so I think, like, it's just such an interesting thing because it's, I don't know. It's so interesting with, like, the content you consume and, like, regulating that for yourself. Because I think that's been the biggest changes I've gotten older is I let myself feel, like, my extreme feelings. Yeah. But I, like, try and regulate it as much as I can.
Well, like, I did not watch 13 Reasons Why.
Yeah, me neither.
When it came out, I knew that that would potentially trigger me and that it was not worth it. I think that's another discussion is, like, what do you think about, like, displaying graphic things about mental illness and self-harm and suicide, like, in media? Yeah. Like, I think I don't remember the movie Cyberbully that much, but I do remember a very graphic scene that I think you could have told that story without showing that scene. And I don't know the exact scene of 13 Reasons Why, but I have read some, like, summaries of it.
Yeah.
And it seems like they could have told that story without showing that. And I think for me, that's kind of where the line is drawn again with, like, talking about these things, being open about depression, being open about mental illness, but not showing things that could potentially trigger someone.
See, and I think that's a bigger question about, like, censorship. Of, like, even a couple podcasts ago, like, my, like, hot take was that, like, I don't like horror. And I, like, think it's weird to, like, watching people get murdered. And, like, that kind of sparked a discussion about, like, well, like, then you don't need to consume that, you know? And it's, I think it's kind of a balance of, I think that, like, I don't know. I feel like if a teenager can seek it out and it's going to, like, affect them and, like, potentially cause them to self-harm or cause them to whatever, like, I don't know if that needs to be made and profited off of. But also that's, like, a really big shared experience that a lot of people have. So are people not allowed to create that art? Because it could, like, if it's going to trigger you and you put a trigger warning on, like, I don't know.
I don't have an answer. And I think
but that's why I think, like, discussions like this are so interesting because we don't have all the answers.
Yeah.
And, like, I think we're in, like, a very interesting time. And I think that's, like, something really cool to talk about, too, is, like, I'm really, really hopeful for our generation and, like, especially Gen Z.
Yeah.
That, like, they're coming up with this understanding of, like, mental illness.
Well, one of the things that drives me crazy is when people are, like, especially the older generation, is, like, well, everyone these days has anxiety and depression. Like that's not real. And it's, like, no, the same amount of people probably had it 50 years ago. But, like, someone like me, I probably would never have gone to therapy.
Yeah.
Like, I probably would have just been, like, well, that's me. Like, that's but also, my life.
If you had grown up 50 years ago, you wouldn't have things to trigger you.
Yeah.
Like, I guess, like, maybe some novels or, like, some television shows. But, like, you couldn't, like, go on your phone and look at social media. Like, I was so impressed. Like, maybe a year ago, I was talking to one of my younger relatives who I think they were in, like, eighth grade at the time. And they were telling me, because I was like, hey, like, you deleted your Instagram. Like, why'd you do that? Like, I love seeing your pictures. And they were like, oh, well, like, a lot, like, I've been, like, kind of changing friend groups. And, like, I don't really like seeing all my friends hanging out without me. And it was, like, really upsetting me and, like, making me sad. So, like, I deleted it because it wasn't good for my mental health. And I was like, that is such a grown-up concept. Like, that's coming from your mouth as an eighth grader. Like, that was not good for your mental health.
Yeah.
So, like, you deleted it temporarily, and, like, you'll be back on in, like, a couple months when, like, your mental health is better. Like, it just makes me feel like I have such faith that, like, these conversations are going to happen more and more, and that also people are, like, becoming aware of, like, hey, that's not healthy. Yeah. Like, maybe I should stop that.
And just being okay with talking about it, too.
Yeah.
Like, if I, when I was 15, had been able to go to my parents before I got to that breaking point and been like, hey, I'm really struggling. I think I might have some sort of issue with my mental health. I would like to go to therapy. So much, like, hurt and, like, trauma could have been stopped.
Oh.
If I had just been able to have that conversation. And it makes me really hopeful that, like, Gen Z and, like, the generation coming after Gen Z is able to talk about those things.
Yeah.
Like, I hope that someday if I have a child and that child is dealing with things, that they can feel comfortable coming to me, or maybe not me, maybe a friend or maybe a teacher, and just being like, hey, I'm not doing well. I'm struggling.
Well, and I think, too, like, it's such an interesting thing because I feel like it already is, like, prevalent with our generation of, like, I grew up in a family where, like, mental illness is a thing. Yeah. Like, everyone is, like, very aware that, like, anxiety and depression, like, run in my family. Like, people have been hospitalized for it. Like, it's a very not common thing, but it's, like, something that everyone kind of understands. And so I did feel, like, a little, like, not special, but, like, it did feel like, oh, yeah, like, everyone goes through that. And so I feel like that was an interesting experience for me. But I think that, like, talking to some of, like, my adult friends now whose parents, like, just don't believe in it.
It's crazy.
It's, like, crazy.
Yeah.
Like, I was talking to someone that I'm really close with the other day, or maybe not the other day, like, maybe a year ago, about, well, time is just kind of blurring together. But I was talking to them, and I was like, hey, like, I think that you might have depression, or, like, some sort of something, that, like, you should go to therapy and, like, seek help. Because, like, the way that you're feeling isn't, like, you're sad about specific things. It's, like, you're sad all the time. And, like, I can't diagnose you and I don't want to, but I think that, like, maybe you should seek help. Yeah. And that person, like, told their parents and talked to them. And their parents were like, oh, what? What do you mean? Like, that's not a thing. Like, blah, 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 blah. And it was just this, like, brushed over. Whereas if I went to my parents and was like, hey, I have anxiety, I want to see a therapist, my parents wouldn't have taken me to go see a therapist.
Yeah.
And so it makes me so hopeful that, like, our kids, like, hopefully my son will be able to come to me someday if he has a mental disorder and be like, hey, I'm really sad and, like, don't feel okay.
Yeah.
Can you help? And I'll be like, yeah, like, let's take tomorrow off of school and let's go for a hike. Let's set you up with a therapist. Yeah. Let's take these steps and let's remove these triggers and let's figure out what's wrong and, like, get you help. Versus, like, you're not depressed. Like, you're just sad. Like, everyone's sad. And it's like, no, like, that doesn't have to be the way that you live.
Yeah.
Like, don't just settle for that. Like, if you can improve yourself in any way, work on it.
Yeah.
You know?
Well, and I think it's easier for people like you and me who've been through it.
Yeah.
But I think what's so important about having these conversations online and in media and sharing those things is for the people who haven't had that experience to be able to understand it and not just be like, you don't have that, but be like, oh, yeah, like, maybe you do. Like, let's take you to a therapist or let's take you to a psychologist. And that's why I do think it's so important to have these conversations.
Yeah.
And just for the average person to be super open about it.
Totally.
And just be like, oh, yeah, like, oh, what'd you do today? Oh, I went to therapy. Like, that should be a normal thing.
Yeah.
And that's why I do feel so conflicted about, like, showing those things in media and also trying not to trigger people, because I do think it's such a fine line.
Yeah.
Because I'm sure there are probably so many teenagers out there who watch something like 13 Reasons Why and had never struggled with something like that and then felt like they understood their friends or their family members who are.
Mm-hmm. It's so hard to figure out, like, I don't know. It's so hard to figure those things out. I feel like for me, like, I am personally always trying to better myself.
Yeah, me too.
And I think that, like, everyone should always be trying to better themselves, no matter what that means for you. For some people, that might mean, like, going to the gym and eating healthier. For some people, that might mean, like, going to therapy. For some people, like, that it might mean, like, going outside and getting fresh air, or having a healthier relationship with your family. Like, I think that, like, bettering yourself can be so many different things to so many different people. But like something that Kyle and I started like early on in our relationship was like, if, and I don't know if it's like for us, it's like the best thing, but like if one of us is like, I'm just like really angry about this, that, and the other, like if Kyle says that to me, I'll be like, well, work on that. Like, let's work on that. Like, yeah. if instead of being like, I'm so unmotivated and I'm this, that, and the other, and just saying I am, like, and then negative qualities about yourself, like, work on that.
Yeah.
I have anxiety disorder, but, like, I'm working on it. Like, I try and meditate every day. Like, for me, that's, like, one of the biggest things that has helped me in my entire life. And so I think that, like, for me, having the, like, mentality of, like, work on that is, like, very helpful. For some people, it might not be very helpful. But for me, being able to be like, you're really angry? Maybe you should work on that. Like, what can you do? Can you have a conversation with that person?
Yeah.
Can you, like, cut that person out of your life for a little bit? Can we, like, solve the problem that's making you angry? Like, what does that boil down to?
That's, like, the joke we always make of, like, girls who post on Instagram who are, like, for, like, their one-year anniversary with their boyfriend are like, I hate you sometimes. We fight nonstop. We hate each other. We're so sick of each other. But I wouldn't want to be so angry with anyone else. Like, love you. Happy 1 year.
And it's like, maybe you should work on that. Like, my goal is to never fight with Kyle ever again in my entire life. Yeah. My goal is to never fight with my family. My goal is to never have another panic attack. Like, my goal is to have the best, healthiest relationships with everyone around me, including myself. So it's weird to me when people are like, if I were to post about you and be like, sometimes we bicker and get under each other's skin, but, like, I still love it. Like, that's not our relationship because we both work to not do that. Like, that shouldn't happens. Be, like, a point of, like, pride.
Like, life isn't perfect. Like, you're gonna fight with Kyle and you're gonna bicker with me and you'll probably have a fight with your family. But, like, that doesn't mean that you should just be like, I hate you.
But if that can happen once every 3 years versus, like, every day, like, I don't know. I just think self-improvement is, like,
I agree.
Essential.
Well, I don't think we're going to do advice this podcast because we've been going for so long. But do you want to end with just kind of, like, where you're at now with your mental health, what you're working on, what things you're doing? I can go first if you want.
Yeah, go first.
So right now, I would say I'm in a good spot with my mental health. I feel like I understand it. I had a little bit of, like, a dip down when I had to get off birth control because birth control was originally what my therapist or my psychotherapist, the person who prescribes you medication, had told me I should get on to regulate my mood, and that helped so much. Mm-hmm. So adjusting to getting off that was really, really hard. I think I'm still dealing, kind of reeling from it, but I'm doing a lot better. I'm currently not in therapy, but I actually think I want to get back into therapy before Steven and I start trying, because I think I'm sure that there's going to be a whole influx of hormones that could affect it, just like it did when I went through puberty. I feel like I'm pretty open about it with people in my real life, with people online, and I think that helps a lot. And so I'm in a good place. I'm really happy with the relationships that I have, and I think I'm functioning pretty well. So what about you?
I'm really proud of you.
Thanks.
Love you, Cece.
Love you.
I think I'm doing really well. I think, like, the newest thing has been, like, I have been really hormonal because of pregnancy. Like, I literally, like, we joke about it a lot. Like, I'm a very emotional and sensitive person, but I just don't get angry. Like, that's, like, I feel like I experience every other, like, emotion, like, positive and negative. But, like, I never, like, I've probably yelled at Kyle, like, once, maybe. And that was, like, barely, you know? But I think, like, since I've been pregnant and since I've been more hormonal, I'm, like, I tend to get angrier faster. Like, even at, like, stupid little things. Like, we were getting, like, an acai bowl this weekend, and the guy in front of me was, like, asking if he could taste everything. Like, we were, like, kind of in a rush, and he was, like, could I taste that kiwi? And she was, like, sure, and, like, handed him the kiwi, and he's, like, can I taste your almond butter and your peanut butter? And I literally was sitting there, and I was, like, staring at Kyle being, like, I'm gonna strangle him. Like, I
maybe you should work on that.
I know, but I want to. And so I, like, I told Kyle, I was like, I like got in the car and was like almost shaking because I was like so angry. I was like, I don't know why I'm so frustrated right now. Like, yeah. Everything's fine. We're on time. The guy was like just trying to see if he liked almond butter or peanut butter better. But, like, I'm so frustrated. And he's like, I think it's, like, your hormones. And I was like, no, it definitely is. But, like, I definitely need to work on it because I still have 3 months left of being pregnant. And, like, I can't just keep getting angry over, like, almond butter versus peanut butter. Like, yeah. That's just not. So I think that, like, I'm in a really good place with my anxiety. I'm in a really good place with, like, eating disorder recovery and all of it. I think, like, the only thing I, like, really truly am struggling with is, like, obviously always remnants of anxiety, but also just like the influx of hormones that like pregnancy comes with. If I feel things a lot deeper of like when I'm sad, I feel like I feel like really sad.
Yeah.
Like if I feel like frustrated, I feel like I feel like really frustrated. So I'm just trying to kind of like manage that. But I think that's like a very normal thing that happens in pregnancy and when your hormones are going crazy and you're growing a human being inside of you. So I'm working on that. I feel like my relationships are, like, really, really healthy with everyone in my life.
Good.
Like, I don't think I've ever had such a healthy relationship with, like, my partner, my friends, my family, everyone. Yeah. So I feel like I'm in a pretty good place.
Good. I'm so happy for you. I'm so proud of you.
We're surviving. We're doing it.
We're not just surviving. We're thriving. Well, I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. Be sure to subscribe on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, especially YouTube.
Yeah.
We just got the 100,000 subscriber plaque for the vlog. How freaking cool would it be to get one for the podcast?
That would be so nuts.
That'd be so cool. So subscribe, leave us a comment down below, and I hope you guys enjoyed this episode. We'll see you on Monday.
Bye.